Good morning. What a blessing to be together this morning. Shelby, thank you for helping to us to join our voices together and praise God. And what a beautiful song to just finish on to come up here right to preach. And so I'm definitely appreciative of that. Very, very well done. Thank you. Let's talk about faith, okay? And we started this a couple of Sunday nights ago. We talked about faith and how in chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, and then also we made some comments about verse 6 about how faith is described, okay? So faith is described. It's not necessarily a definition per se, but a description of faith. And then what we get to see in the rest of the chapter, the remaining of the chapter, is we get to see where people actually lived out that description of faith, okay? So let's talk a little bit about faith today, and let's just look at two words, by faith. And so let's think about that for just a few moments. Let me go back and read the first three verses. Now, Mark read verse 4, but look at chapter 11 beginning with verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, well, what is the it? That's faith, right? By it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. How were they righteous before God? By faith, right? Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible, right? By faith, we believe God created by faith. We believe there is a God by faith. There are things that we have to believe about God, right? Verse 6, for we must believe that He is. What is it we believe about God? You know, by faith, there are things that we believe about God. Now, I'll just point out from verse 4, it starts out with those two words, by faith. And then if you look at the last part of verse 4, through it, through what? Through faith, he, being dead, still speaks. Okay, so we believe that this righteous man, Abel, by his faith, still has a message for us today. That's how we would see that. Now, Abel is the first of God's heroes in this marvelous chapter 11 of many heroes of faith. And as a matter of fact, in the biblical record, he's the first example that we see, right, in Genesis chapter 4. So I encourage you, open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4 a few moments. We'll look at the first seven verses. Because this is, right, the first hero of our faith right here in Genesis chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain a tiller of the ground. Now, I want to tell you, one person's a farmer and the other person is a cattleman, right? He has sheep. And that's kind of what we get there at the end of verse 2. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. By the way, an offering that God did not accept. But he brings this offering to the Lord. It's from the fruit of the ground. Remember, he's a farmer. You know, I wondered if this looked like a county fair, you know, all those luscious fruits and vegetables. And, you know, there he is presenting this offering to the Lord. And I'm sure it was the best of what he had. But he brought this offering to the Lord. Verse 4, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. Why? That would be an important question. Does he like Abel better than Cain? But he did not accept it, right? Did not accept his offering. Respected Abel's offering. Did not respect Cain's offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So that the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do what's right, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. Now, before we get into thinking that this is really about the fact that Cain killed his brother Abel and that's what displeased God, let me just say, God didn't accept his sacrifice before he killed his brother. Okay, so that's important to this text. So God was not happy with Cain and the sacrifice that he offered. Let me just remind you of a couple things about you and me for just a few moments, right? Doesn't the Bible say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent for the Lord. Look at verse 7. For we walk, there's our two words, by faith. That's how we respond to God. In some ways, there's no difference between us and Abel, even though there's a lot of years between the two of us. He offered by faith, we offer by faith. He lived by faith, we live by faith. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, and now by faith, hope, and love, this beautiful trinity of what our whole lives should consist of, our faith in God Almighty, our faith in God's Son, our faith in the Scriptures, the system that God has set up for us to believe and have faith in, our hope that Jesus Christ will come again, our hope that He will take us to be with God, to be in a place where our faith and our hope will be no more, and love, that enduring aspect of this Holy Trinity, if you will, that enduring aspect will never fail because that's the foundation of who we are here and who we will be there. So you've got this beautiful aspect, but again in verse 13, one of the greatest of these, the greatest is love, but one of the three big ones, the big three, if you will, is faith. Again, because that's how we live in this life. Colossians 2, beginning with verses 6 and 7. Here Paul says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How do I walk in? Walking in Christ and walking in faith are the same thing. Okay, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established, here it is, in the faith, as you have been taught, again, abounding in it, abounding in what? Abounding in faith. What is faith? Walking in Jesus. How do we walk in Jesus? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Now, I'll bring that passage up again in a few moments because I think that is important to consider, at least in this context. But nonetheless, we, as we talk about, walk by faith, we live by faith, hope and love, but faith, and we're built up in Christ, and we're living in faith as we walk in Christ. Now, I want to share what I just read a few moments ago, Genesis chapter 4. You get a picture of two things. You get a picture in Genesis chapter 4 with Cain and Abel of what God accepts and what God does not accept. You have a picture in Genesis chapter 4, in that text, and especially in verses 3 through 7, of true religion and false religion. There's only two options. There's no middle ground. There's no straddling the fence. It's either doing what God says, true religion, or doing something else, which is false religion. And you can say whatever you want about fault, but that's the only two options. Just like in life, there are only two options. There are those who are saved and those who are lost. There's no middle ground. You're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. False religion, those who are lost, those who are not in Christ. True religion, those who are saved, those who are in Christ. That's the options that God sets forth in His Word. That's what we're talking about here. Faith makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Faith is the difference between true religion and false religion. Faith is the difference between being saved and being lost. Faith is the difference between being in Christ and outside of Christ. And notice there's just one, Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 4. There is one body, seven ones here. Seven ones that we must absolutely be unified in, no exception. This is true religion right here. There is one body in this same, with this same author in this same book in verses 22 and 23, he identifies that body as the church. There's just one. One Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Did you get that? One faith. There's just one system that God has given us that speaks about His glory, His holiness, speaks about Him as Creator. There's just one system that comes through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. There is just one allegiance given to that one God through that one Jesus. And according to the words that the Spirit of God has given us, this wonderful Word of God, the Bible. Seven ones. Now let's talk about the religion of Cain versus the religion of Abel. And what I'm referring to is false religion or false faith versus true religion and true faith. Let's talk about the first one very quickly. In Genesis chapter 4 verses 1 and 2, you remember that we read a few moments ago where Cain was a tiller of the ground in verse 2, right? He was a tiller of the ground. I want you to, if you've got your Bible open or if you're taking notes, I want you to write Jude 11. There's just one chapter in Jude. Write Jude 11 down. Because Jude has this interesting thing that he says in verse 11. Beloved, while I was very diligent, well actually I want to back up to verse 3. Verse 11 is the point, but I will read verse 3 and verse 11. You'll see the connection. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning, get this, our common salvation. We're talking about faith here. I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. Now skip down to verse 11. Okay, notice verse 11. So you've got a way, a common salvation, faith. In verse 11 he says, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Isn't that interesting? What is the way of Cain? What's the religion or the faith of Cain? I can tell you this, it's false religion. A false way. Notice who else is connected. And I'm not going to talk about this, but have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. It's not very, you want to talk about a big three? That's not a very good three to be in. But notice, what is the way of Cain? Well, what is this way that we're referring to? Is it false religion or is it true religion? Is it a true way or a false way? What is the way of Cain? Why did the Lord not accept the offering of Cain? I think that's a fair question to pursue. And the answer is very simple. You remember how verse 4 of Hebrews 11 started? By faith. Faith has an offering. Each of us have an offering with our faith. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Right? By faith. So, why was it God didn't accept Cain's sacrifice? Very simply, it was not by faith. Why? Because God accepts when it's by faith, right? We see that with Abel. It was a fruit offering. It was the religion of his own imagination, his own devising, his own way. You say, well, how would you come to that conclusion? How do you know that he just came up with this? Well, it was a bloodless sacrifice is what it was. From the beginning until Jesus Christ, God required blood. There's no second guessing that. Well, it is true. We don't have a lot of the details in chapter 4. God just says, I accept this one, I don't accept this one. And then in chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, verse 4, here's why I accepted this one. It was by faith. And this is by implication why I didn't accept the other one. It was not by faith. One offered a blood sacrifice, Abel. The other one offered a bloodless sacrifice, Cain. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Here the Hebrew writer says, without the latter part of the verse, without the shedding of blood, help me out, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We need blood for remission to occur. Now mind you, their sacrifices were annually. Some of them were even more often. Think about all that blood that was spilled, that blood that's just running through the streets. Lots and lots of blood from the people that God required, because I believe the Hebrew writer is correct. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Well, where did he get this idea to bring the fruit of the ground? Where did Abel get the idea to bring a blood sacrifice? Where is that in the scriptures in this beginning part of Genesis? It's not there written. But there is no doubt he thought that he could do what was right in his own way of thinking and in his own sight. He offered this sacrifice that God did not ask for. I mean, where does it even tell us in Genesis chapter 4 that a sacrifice of any kind is even needed? All we're told is one offers this sacrifice and the other one offers that sacrifice. That means to tell me that, I mean, I understand that that tells me that God had talked to them about sacrifice. Does God ever leave us without understanding or knowing what He wants or desires ever? No. So God wanted a sacrifice. I am certain God communicated what kind of sacrifice He wanted. I mean, look at how detailed He is in all of Scripture. He wouldn't have left those details out with these two guys, and all of a sudden now they've grown up and they're offering sacrifices, and God says, Abel, I like yours better. I like my steak medium rare, and I'm not really into salads right now. No, that's not how it was, okay? That's not the reality. God told what He wanted. I'll make that point in just a few more minutes. Let's notice the faith or the religion of Abel. True faith. True religion. Okay? This is what God accepts. In other words, we're not coming up on our own what we think God wants. A lot of people do that. I remember back, I think it was in the 70s, maybe early 80s, the community church movement sort of started, and the idea was to send out surveys to everyone in any individual community. And so you had all these community churches, and they were all different because the communities were different. So they would send out this survey, and they would ask questions like, what do you like? What do you not like? What are you looking for in a church? What are you not looking for in a church? I mean, what's appealing by way of the message? What's not appealing by way of the message? And so this movement actually developed a church based on what the community wanted. Had nothing to do with the Word of God. It's just, what does the community want? What do they accept? What do they like? What kind of message do they like hearing? And so you had these churches springing up in all these communities that were exactly what the people wanted. True religion or false religion? Abel did what God wanted. Cain did what God did not want. How does faith come to us? It's no different. All through the Scriptures, we understand this simple principle, even though Paul does state it in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Help me out. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's based on what God wants, right? Understand that we could have no faith unless God speaks. Abel and Cain could not have faith unless God speaks. That's true throughout all the Scriptures. The way that we come to faith is when God has spoken. And what is Paul saying to the brethren in Rome? Faith comes, now it's the beginning of our faith. It's not the sum total of our faith, but our faith starts, right? By hearing the Word of God. Ultimately, we have to put it into action. And that's where the difference came with these two guys. One put it into action in the way God wanted versus one who did not. One did what God said. One did not do what God said. Cain and Abel both knew what God said because that's how faith begins. All through the Scriptures. In Luke chapter 11... beginning with verse 49. Therefore the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets. Have you ever thought about Abel as a prophet? It's what Jesus calls him. Now get this. Therefore I will also send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute. Verse 50, that the blood, underline it, of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. Verse 51, Who does God mention at the beginning of verse 51? From the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Who's the first prophet that lost his life, that his blood was shed in the beginning or dawn of history? Abel. Abel is that righteous prophet of God. Now, here's the connection I would make. Look at what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 and following. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy, hear it, is of any private interpretation, not meaning they sat down and privately interpret it, meaning that they sat down and came up with their own way. Okay? It's not talking about how you read and study Scripture, but it's talking about coming up with your own way for Scripture. For prophecy never came by the will of man. It wasn't that man sat down and figured this out and did this himself. That's the way of Cain. No, what these men did, these holy men of God who have faith, because remember, God speaks and therefore we have faith. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God gives a word, and now I can have faith. And these holy prophets spoke, these holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Did that change with Abel? According to what I read a moment ago in Luke chapter 11, he is that righteous prophet. How did he get the word of God? He got the word of God the way all of these men get the word of God, from God himself. In Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Notice here in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, to him all the prophets witness. All the prophets, Abel is one, that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Right? These prophets really and ultimately were talking about the remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Ultimately, thinking about and prophesying about Jesus Christ, through whom we have access and remission of sins. Now, what's interesting is, it's true here in chapter 10, verse 43, that Luke shares, whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sin. Well, what does Acts 2:38 say? Repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, is this same author who's writing this document about the early church, is he giving two different plans? Or does one who believes for the remission of sin is also baptized for the remission of sin? That those two things can be true at the same time. That belief must also encompass baptism. And you can't have just a baptism for the remission of sin unless someone's willing to believe for the remission of sin. Believe's the beginning point. Jesus said, he who is baptized, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who disbelieves shall be condemned. Belief is the starting point. If you don't believe, you're not ever going to get to the point of baptism. Right? John in Mark chapter 1 verse 4 preached a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin, telling the people they should look on to Jesus. Jesus ultimately comes and offers that. And we have to believe in him. We have to repent of our sins. We have to respond to his grace and confess him as Lord and be immersed in the waters of baptism to have our sins away. That's true religion. That's a true faith. That's how we live by faith. We do what God says in the way that God says to do it. And if we don't, we are just like Cain, where God gave a word and he came up with his own way. So we talked about the religion of Cain. We talked about the religion of Abel. What about you and I? What about our faith, our religion? Is it true or false? Do we have a true way or a false way? It is true that we have a description of faith in verses 1 through 3 of Hebrews chapter 11. It is true that we have examples of faith, right? The very first one that we're looking at is Abel. It's true that we have those. But understand that that was written for our faith. It was recorded so you and I could not only hear a description of faith and see how faith acts or lives, Because we want to walk by faith, right? We want to walk, be in Christ, living for Christ in our faith because God has spoken. So what about our faith? What about our religion, our way? Because this is really about you and me. Notice what verse 6 of Hebrews 11 says. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to do religion your own way. It's impossible to do religion unless it is those two simple words. By faith. Again, by faith Abel offered to God. Here is an offering that Abel gives, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. In other words, it was a sacrifice. The word could mean a more excellent way, or it could mean greater in number. He offered more sacrifices, or it could be just the fact that it's greater honor to God. In other words, one person honored God by doing what God wanted, and another person didn't. And he honored God. He had a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Righteousness is connected with our faith. Righteousness, just doing the right thing according to God. Abel is doing what God wants in the way that God wants it. That's the right thing to do. And Cain is not. Again, let me just remind you, there are two kinds of people in this world. Only two. There are those who are saved and those who are lost. There are those who are in Christ and those who are outside of Christ. There are those who live by faith, true religion, versus those who do not, according to their own way, by false religion. God just simply puts everyone in two categories. But the saved, the true religion, the true way, the in Christ way, is what is right in God's sight. So what about you and me? We like to do faith our own way. Have it your way, right? That's Burger King's motto. Is that how we like to do faith? I'll just do it my way. And if the elders don't agree with my way, I'll go my own way. I'll do my own thing. Is that the way of faith? Because again, when I'm reading those seven ones in Ephesians chapter 4, those are unifying. And isn't that how the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 4 start? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. See, salvation is a free gift. It's offered to every one of us. It's a free gift and it's offered this morning. And it can be yours and it can be mine if we just simply respond by faith, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, living faithful. He adds us to His way, the church, the faithful. There is a bloodless offering and a bloody offering. That image is a picture of Calvary. That group of Jewish people that killed Jesus had no clue what they were doing. Jesus is that bloody sacrifice, though, that ultimately brings the remission of sin, Hebrews 9:22. The blood of Jesus washes away our sins. That's how we respond by faith. Acts 22, verse 16, and why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's responding by faith to be saved in Christ Jesus. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as were of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. John chapter 14 verse 6. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Jesus is offered to you this morning. Will you accept Him by faith as together we stand and as we sing?